Hello, everyone. Do we have John on the line? Yes. John?
Hi, everyone. Yes, I'm here.
Hi, John.
I'm here.
Would you
Hi,
like
John.
to kick off?
Yes, we're ready to go. Good afternoon, everyone. I think we only have the one agenda item today, so hopefully we can get through that topic within the hour. I think we should be able to. But with that, pass it across to Isa to take us through that first topic. Thanks, everyone.
Yes. Hello, everyone. So, yeah, as John said, we have one main point on the agenda today, which is the finalization of the proposed taxonomy update for the general improvements. But as the other business, we would like to also update you on a few other things. But again, we hope it will be quite quick. So, as you've seen, we have provided you with the slides to support our discussion today. As you've probably also noticed, that it is a big comprehensive pack of slides and information. And this is mainly to show you the overview of all of the topics that we aim to cover in the proposed taxonomy update, to make sure that, you know, the document work as a whole, and just to make sure that if you have any other questions, we can clarify them before we send the document for your review. On slide...
All participants are now muted.
So what we wanted to highlight today for you is the proposed timeline. And especially, we would like to highlight that we have discussed most of the topics with both the IFRS Taxonomy Consultative Group and with our board advisors meeting regarding this proposed taxonomy update. And as the next step, what we would like to do is to send the document for you and our board advisory group around the 22nd of October, and we are aiming that we will give you 2 weeks to review this document. And then what we are planning to do is take all the comments and hopefully finalize with all the production and editorial review around the end of November or beginning of December, again, depending on how many questions or comments you might have on the document. We are planning to publish the document for a comment period of 60 days. Today, the board advisors agree with that proposal. And then what we are normally doing and are requested to do by the due process handbook is to come back with any comments that we might receive on this document. And hopefully we will bring it to you at the February meeting. And then if everything goes according to plan, we would like to publish the final document in March, which means that we would like to include all of the proposals in the annual taxonomy 2019. So what we are planning to go through today is the remaining topics that we didn't discuss with you in the past, and those are proposals related to improving the IFRS taxonomy elements to tag useful lives and depreciation rates, and also related to consideration in business combinations. We would also like to just give you a quick update on the editorial changes that we are planning to make as a result of the conceptual framework that we published in March this year. So without any further ado, I will just hand it over to Karin, who will just take you through the first topic.
So let's start with the first proposal we want to discuss today, which starts on slide 33. So various IFRS standards require the disclosure of useful lives or depreciation or amortization rates used for property, plant and equipment, intangible assets, investment properties and biological assets. And these disclosures are currently reflected in the IFRS taxonomy using the text line items that are listed on slide 34. Now we have received feedback saying that the current model is not working well and suggesting to split the existing elements into separate elements for the depreciation or amortization rates using the percentage item type and separate elements for useful lives using the duration item type. And on slide 35, we explain that we agree with the suggestion to split the element because although useful lives and amortization or depreciation rates provide the same type of information to users, they cannot be compared directly. And using separate elements makes the tag data easier for users to analyze. Then we also agree with the suggestion to use the percentage item type for amortization or depreciation rates. However, for useful lives, we don't agree with only creating elements using the duration item type. Instead, we propose to create three types of elements for useful lives with different item types to reflect the different ways in which useful lives can be reported applying IFRS standards. And slide 38 shows these three types of elements we're proposing to create. So the first one, useful lives are often quantified and expressed as a time period. And for such cases, we propose using the duration item type in line with the proposal we discussed with you at the September ITCG meeting for elements representing a period of time. But then useful lives can also be expressed as a number of production units, as you can see on slide 37. And we propose using the decimal item type for such cases. And then finally, useful lives are not required to be quantified and can be described with a narrative statement instead. For example, the useful life of leasehold improvements could be described as the term of the lease. So we propose using the text item type for such cases. And then slide 39 shows an alternative approach that we rejected. We considered whether we should use a single text element for useful lives with an implementation note to prescribe a standardized format for values that represent a period of time. And the slide shows an example of a possible implementation note. However, we rejected this approach and we prefer the proposed approach using the three types of elements because we think the proposed approach makes it easier to analyze and compare numeric data. So that brings us to our first set of questions for you, which is on slide 40. Do you agree with creating separate elements for amortization or depreciation rates, which would use the percentage item type? And do you also agree with adding three different types of elements for useful lives? We'll now open up for discussion.
All participant lines are now unmuted.
Yes, I will add that it's a welcome change to add the duration item type especially. So all for that. Adding the decimal seems to make sense. The text one, I don't think that will be used very often. I think in the case that you mentioned about the life of the lease, probably elsewhere the life of the lease has been disclosed. So potentially you could still use the decimal or the duration item type if it were 10 years, for example. I'm not against adding the text item, but it's probably will get very, very low usage. And someday we might look at it and say, it's so low usage, it's on the list of potentially items to deprecate. But also the risk is that someone will use it, use the text item for everything. In other words, it says 10 years and they say, oh, I'll just put that in the text item type because it's text. So there's some risk there adding the text item type. That's a bit, I'm not against it, but you gotta watch out for that risk.
Thank you. I think that was the reason why we considered this additional approach, which we rejected. Though what we've noticed, we look at the couple of financial statements and also according to the standard, the people could use the description to fulfill the requirements of that disclosure. So I think we were obliged to include that element for those constituents. And we were hoping that by having those elements kind of close together, the people would know which element they should choose from depending on the data type that they are using. At some point, we might want to consider a different process whereby we will analyze the number of elements. So far, we don't have such a process, so we just needed to include that element because we thought the standard is not specific what kind of element the people will need to disclose, so we just needed to give people that option.
Okay, it would be interesting to look at it a year from now and see if anybody has erroneously used the text item type. But yeah, I agree with everything you just said.
Perhaps we can add some sort of guidance regarding that text element, just to make it clear that it should only be used on where the disclosure is in the text format.
Right. Okay. What would you expect the guidance would say?
To only consider that element if the disclosure is in a text format, the numerical element would take precedence if a number is disclosed.
Right. Would you say that this is a kind of general rule that would apply throughout the whole taxonomy? And you think that people might not be aware of that?
Possibly, yes.
Because I am wondering if that's like a general concern, because I'm pretty sure that's not the only place where we have two types of elements to be chosen. If that's a general concern that people might be confused using the appropriate one with the appropriate data type, whether it wouldn't be more useful to maybe have like a general statement in preparer's guide that people should just make sure that if there are different types of elements describing the similar idea, that they should just make sure that they choose the appropriate one. Would that be helpful, you think?
We'd have to put...
Possibly. I mean, it still leaves some degree of subjectivity that someone interprets something in a different way.
Right.
Yeah, I think you'd have to put some flesh around appropriate. Appropriate's just too generic to be useful. I mean, they'll do that regardless.
Right. And do you have any view of how we can clarify the appropriate?
I'll make one comment and then hear what people say, but I think people would lean toward a number as opposed to a description. And I think the big thing is that it's more precise.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we could write something in terms of the precision, but I'll be kind of what people think out there. I'd be interested to hear.
Yeah. Does anyone have a view about whether... having three elements is confusing, and there is anything else that we should be doing to clarify that?
Isa, this is Lewis. I think this to add to what Lou had said earlier, I think the simple risk of having that text element, the string element, is that preparers that should be disclosing the numerical amount using the duration element, the duration item type element, there's a real risk that they'll use the text element instead. And that will undermine the value of having had, the duration item type element. And we know that because we see that in practice all the time. So at the end of the day, though, if you believe you need to have both, then maybe including a 10 on that string element that says something to the effect of have you considered using the other element, different words of course, but something that would encourage them to use the other element would be helpful.
The only thing which I'm thinking about is it might be useful to maybe go through the taxonomy and just, if it's just a general concern about having two different types of elements, especially with the text element, to just check if we have any other circumstances like that and maybe consider whether we should do something more comprehensive rather than just one element. But yeah, we will think about that. Thank you. And Luis, can I just ask, since you said that you've seen that in practice, do you have a similar tin for your elements?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Do you have a similar implementation node for similar situations in the US GAAP?
I don't think we do. So I'm making a note to look at that.
Okay.
But we see that pattern, and we do have situations where we have different type of elements for, it's certainly the case that we have that for situations where filers will sometimes report things in percents versus absolute amounts. So there are patterns, there clearly are patterns where you have two types of elements to report, you know, similar things. That's not exactly the same as this. But it is something I want to take a closer look at, because frequently we see filers using string elements to report numerical amounts. Mm-hmm. And that is very likely to occur in this situation if the option is there.
In relation to slide 38, and you're talking about the way the what guidance might look like, is it possible to say something along the lines of that there is a hierarchy and you should be looking at duration first and decimal before using text when you're determining your tagging?
It depends. Sorry, go ahead.
I don't agree with the hierarchy. It would just be something that says this element is only used or should not be used if the item is disclosed with a numerical or decimal item text, something like that.
Okay.
Because it will depend on the actual type of the element being disclosed. Yeah, that's why I'm wondering if it's kind of more a general issue that we might want to maybe tackle differently, but it is a very good point. Sorry, somebody was, I think, trying to say something?
I think it was myself. I was just going to say, well, it isn't really a hierarchy. Whatever is disclosed should be tagged as such. So, I agree. I agree with what you just said, Ethan.
Yeah, and considering Luis just said that he will think about it, maybe we will check the note, we will think about it, and maybe cooperate with FASB and see if there is something that we can do similarly or learn from each other.
Sorry, Isa, that was me. I was just checking to see if you had enough feedback on that one.
I think we do. I think it was very helpful because we thought that people should be clear having the different types of elements, which one they should use. But especially if we see already in practice that people are confused and using different elements, seems something that we should probably think about before we put out this proposed taxonomy update. So that was very helpful. All right. Are there any other comments on this topic? Okay. So I think we now move to the next topic related to contingent consideration in business combinations. So this is the issue that was brought out to us by the external feedback. It's related to requirements in paragraph B64GI of IFRS 3 for business combination, which requires the entity to disclose for each business combination that occurs during the reporting date the amount of contingent consideration arrangements and indemnification assets recognized as of the acquisition date. So currently we've got one element that to reflect that disclosure requirements for both contingent consideration arrangements and indemnification assets. So the stakeholder told us that this actually might be confusing because those two ideas are different in nature and it is unlikely that a combined number will be disclosed for that element, even though we have one for one element, which is the monetary type. So we looked at it and we look at the requirements, and we do agree that the existing element might be confusing, and we do acknowledge that those are different accounting concepts, and because preparers are not likely to disclose those two ideas as one number, it is likely that entities will create entity-specific extensions, which is something that probably we would like to avoid. So we agree that the existing elements should be split, and then we will create two separate elements for contingent consideration and for indemnification asset recognized as of acquisition date, and the current element will be deprecated to make sure that people actually retag their financial statement considering the new elements. We are planning to use, as usual, for documentation labels, the definitions that are in the standard. And IFRS 3 defines the contingent consideration especially as an obligation, usually as an obligation, but also it knows that sometimes it might be a right return of the previously transferred consideration, which means it can be an asset. We are proposing, therefore, to add the credit balance attribute to that element to highlight that normally it's an obligation, and if there is an asset, entities will report a negative sign for that element to differentiate from the liability. I will pause here because I think another part of that discussion is a little bit different. So if we can just maybe first agree that you agree that this element should be split into two separate elements, and that's going to be helpful.
Yes, that is helpful.
All right, maybe I'll ask differently. Is there any disagreement with that proposal? Okay, I'll check it as a no, thank you. So the other thing that we were thinking about changing is the requirement related to paragraph B64F. This was not specifically mentioned in the feedback that we have received, but as a consequence of creating that element, we were thinking about amending the IFRS taxonomy reflecting that disclosure. So that disclosure requires to disaggregate the total consideration transferred by the class. And you can see that we've got already a number of elements that are reflected, reflection of the requirement in the IFRS standards. Now, in addition, what IFRS 3 states that the liability for contingent consideration is an example of liabilities incurred. And therefore, we were wondering whether we can include the newly created element for contingent consideration somehow in this structure. So initially we proposed to include that as a separate element, and we rejected including that element as a child of the liability incurred simply because we thought that if it could be an asset, it can be confusing that it is a child of an element that is liabilities. However, we did discuss that proposal with our board advisors, and they advised us to change the recommendation. And currently, we think that we would propose not including that element in that structure. And I think the main reason is that when we thought about including that presentation in the calculation link base, we were concerned that this element could be seen as double counting, and therefore we were a little bit concerned that instead of being helpful with including that element, we might just create some additional confusion. In addition, this presentation currently does add up in the calculation link base, and we were trying to be helpful by including this element. However, this being an example, we don't think that this is necessary to include that element because our presentation and calculation link base is an example. It should be treated as an example, and entities should always create their own presentation and their own calculation that reflects the actual disclosures. And therefore, once the element is available for them, they can use it in their own presentation and calculation. So that's why we are proposing to not change anything regarding this presentation and calculation and not adding this element to that presentation. And I think at that point, I would just stop and ask if you have any questions or concerns regarding that changed recommendation for that requirement.
I think the silence means that they're okay with the change. No comments.
Yeah. Yeah, the change sounds reasonable.
It makes sense.
Maybe.
All right. I it is a change that was not included in the slides. We are planning to send you the document for your review at the end of October. If you will have any follow-up thoughts or you had any additional concerns, you can raise them at that point. So it's not the last chance if you will think that there are other options or something we didn't consider. So I think this is all that we wanted to discuss with you regarding the proposed taxonomy update. But we send you the whole slide pack just to make sure that you are comfortable. Actually, there is one more thing that we wanted to mention. Editorial changes. So this is on slide. On slide 59, we've got editorial changes. So we have published the conceptual framework in March 2018 with effective date for the preparers the 1st January 2020. The conceptual framework does refine some of the definition, for example, assets and liabilities and income. And we are proposing to change the definitions in the documentation labels of assets, liabilities and revenue that is referring to income. With effective dates 2020, which we always include to kind of show people that those changes are not effective unless they are those standards are early applied. In some cases, it's worth noting that we have older definitions applicable, and there are some cross references between different definitions in the IFRS taxonomy elements. We also reviewed those cross-references and we propose to remove some of them to make sure that there is no confusion that whether the old or new definitions should be used. And as usual for the use of the IFRS taxonomy elements, people should refer to their references included for those elements to make sure that the appropriate one is chosen. Those elements are already measured and presented, so we hope that it will not cause any confusion. We treat such changes as editorial changes or maintenance type amendments, and they do not need to be approved or reviewed or even exposed for public consultation according to our due process. However, we still want to make sure people are comfortable with that and that those changes do make sense. So we are proposing to include it in the proposed taxonomy update, again, for your review, for board advisors' review, and for the public consultation. So thank you for the reminder. I think with that, that was the last topic for the proposed taxonomy update. Again, we've sent you the whole slide pack to make sure that it all works together, that there is nothing that we maybe missed or there is no new ideas, new arguments, or maybe some confusion. So I'll just pause here and just ask if you have any other questions on the slide pack, even though we're not going through specific topics. All right, I'll check it as a no. And I would like to also update you quickly on the other things that are happening right now. We are currently working on the Spanish translations. Vladek, would you like to give us a quick update on that?
Yeah, so, as Isa said, we are about to release a Spanish translation for the IFRS taxonomy in 2019. This is quite comprehensive translation, more than all the translations that we release. This is the first translation for the IFRS taxonomy 2019, and it will include supporting materials like IFRS taxonomy illustrated for full IFRS and IFRS SMEs, versioning reports in Spanish, and this time around the ITI, so IFRS taxonomy illustrated, will be fully translated into Spanish. And the versioning report, so the labels in versioning reports and references will be translated into Spanish. Additionally to that, XIFRS will be translated and available through our EIFRS platform, also in Spanish. So all of these things will be published pretty soon, either this week or next week. So that's it at the moment, and we are still waiting for other translations to be finished.
Yeah, and we will update you on any other translations that we will be close to finalizing, so you are aware of what's happening. Any questions on the translations? All right, so the last thing...
Just a practical question, sorry. That these translations for Spanish language, I assume there's some coordination, and we don't need to know the details, between foundation staff and the ESMA folk and commission folk involved in the same task for the ESMA RTS.
Well, the Spanish translation is more broader than the Spanish that is used by the Spain as a European country. This more covers this translation covers more stakeholders, especially those based in South America. So this translation is slightly different. But yes, we are aware of, and we have.
Agreement.
Yeah. A different agreement with the European Commission regarding the translations.
Yeah, that, I was just about to say exactly that. Thank you, Vladek. That that yes, obviously the European Union has a requirement to translate the taxonomy, and we've entered into an agreement to permit them to do that.
Thanks, Rachel. Thanks, everyone.
Sure. The last thing which I wanted to highlight is the IFRS 13. We all know it was published on the 20th September, so it's live for around 3 weeks now, and there is around 5 weeks to go. We just wanted to highlight still that we are hoping to receive some comment letters that will make sure that our IFRS taxonomy is done properly and it reflects the current practice. I think it's worth mentioning that apart from the IFRS taxonomy specific questions, there are some interesting accounting issues that we have raised there. So again, if there are people listening that may be not interested in kind of taxonomy specific presentationing basis or calculationing basis, there are some accounting concepts, especially those are the concepts that are reflected in the reporting, but not necessarily specifically required by IFRS standards. So that's something that might be of interest to accountants that might be listening to this webcast, or other constituents that you might want to contact, or if you discuss it with them. As you know, we are trying to raise awareness as much as possible. We are continuously looking for any ideas on how we can encourage constituents to provide us feedback. And this time, again, I would like to highlight that we have recorded a webinar and we've posted some high-level slides and more detailed slides. Again, we are hoping that some constituents might find this way of understanding our proposals easier and maybe, again, encourage them to look at it and provide us feedback. So just the last questions, did you maybe have any other new ideas that we can use and try to encourage either awareness or actually people getting us feedback on the proposals? We have also raised an idea in the past that if you are aware of anyone who would like to maybe test our proposals, whether they are actually improvements, whether they make sense and they actually work, this is something that we are interested in as well. So if you have any ideas after the meeting, please drop me a line and we are definitely interested in them. So I think that's all from me.
Anything else from the group? I think that's it from the group as well, Aisha.
All right. Thank you very much for the feedback. It was very helpful. And whenever you have any other ideas in between the meetings, please drop us a line.
Okay, thanks again, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.